The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
We live in a day and an age where there's so many things that kids can do, right? Both inside the house and outside the house. But the great thing is it's a Saturday and a Sunday morning. And whether you're a teenager or a young parent, that's a time in your week for chilling out and relaxing, a little bit of sofa time. And it works really well because it coincides with our coverage. And I've spoken to so many families down the years who have seen their children more because of the Premier League coverage than they otherwise would. You know, kids are getting out of bed at 7, 8, 9 o'clock, sometimes 4 a.m. on the West Coast to see their team, and then they're spending time with each other, sitting on the sofa, enjoying the spectacle of the Premier League game. So all in all, it's the perfect window for family viewing. Callum Robinson has only scored 5 Premier League goals in his entire career, and all 5 of those have been against Chelsea. And a very, very strange stat. We said before the game this morning, you said, in fact, that West Brom were getting into better areas, they were entering the box more, but scoring goals has been a problem. Not today.
I also said that they won't get 3 goals against
you did
the Chelsea
say they
team.
Won't get
they
three.
Didn't. They got 5.
There you go.
I mean, I think Thomas Tuchel today is probably understood the challenge of managing Chelsea Football Club. That when they're good, they're good, and his progression's been good. And it is only one result, Rebecca. Yes, it's 5 goals and a man sent off. But the challenges that Frank had of this team, if they do open up, as we saw against West Brom today, will get hurt. And that today was what I call an international break performance. You know, where people have been off and scoring goals and playing for your country and getting ready for World Cups, and the focus today was on getting 3 points to get that 4th spot.
OK, so was that a blip then, or did you see signs to worry for Chelsea fans today?
I think, yeah, obviously there is signs to worry because defensively has been the problem. Last season, 10 teams conceded less than them. And it's been an issue. And I think what Chelsea's problem was today, when they had to open up, they were just caught. They were just wide open. I think they hugely miss Conte. He's a massive player for them. For me, I think he's one of the best defensive midfielders in the world, not just the Premier League. And I think that's a huge issue for him. So there's a lot for Tuchel to think about.
Mason Mount was brought on as a second-half sub. Out came Christian Pulisic, it looked like, for the second half, Rob.
Yeah, then we go to the tactical camera, Beck, and we see him here highlighted. He goes to that first coin, turns back, something of an injury, something's not right. He goes to the technical staff and his manager, Tuchel. There's a conversation. Tuchel said in the post-match interview after that it was a hamstring injury, so he advises the staff. They have to then say, Timo, get out the showers, we need you back. Timo Werner comes running down and takes his place in the second half, and I've not seen anything like that for some time, Rebecca.
No, it's a rarity. From Thomas Tuchel's perspective, what's he thinking there?
I'd be fuming. He'd be absolutely fuming with Pulisic. Because at the end of the day, they're down to 10 men. There will have been a plan in order for the second half, and Pulisic will have been part of that. So they've got everything in place, and then he comes out and has a little bit of a sprint and then says he has to come off. You either come off straight away, as in terms of when you're in the change room at half-time, or you give it a little bit of time, because you could just see the face from Tuchel when he realises that Pulisic is coming off.
Robbie, your reaction?
The first thing is, you don't want to make an injury worse, but you've got 15 minutes in that half-time, Rebecca, to test and assess if you've got an injury. Now, we assume there hasn't. If you're running 5 yards to a cone and then turning around and saying it's right, it couldn't have been right in the first place. Now, we're all different people. If that's me as a player, I'm staying on. I'm trying to get another 10 or 15 minutes out before I tell the manager.
Well, especially because Pulisic is in and out of this team.
And we talked about it at the start of the day, that he's got probably 8 Premier League games and whatever cup games to get first-team place in this Chelsea side.
And you can't forget as well, Timo Werner, he would have been told directly when he got off the pitch that he was coming off, so he wouldn't have been involved with that team talk.
No, indeed. And then suddenly, you're actually on, Timo. All change at the bridge, and they lost by 5-2. Danny, I'll come to you first. A formality is the title, and really, when you watch Manchester City, it's about patience, and in the end, it's a formality when they win.
It is, and they exhaust the opposition. And there's no surprise, their last 11 of their last 13 goals have come in the second half away from home. they just wear the opposition out. And one of the things that happened when you're playing against Manchester City, when you used to play against the great teams, you started to get tired. And when you get tired, you switch off. That's why players then find themselves in more space for Manchester City. And that's what they just do. They know that in the first half, it's all about, OK, let's try and create opportunities. Let's tire out the opposition. And in the second half, they just come into their own. They've been able to rest players today as well for the huge game in the Champions League. So it's been another really good day for Guardiola and his men.
Because Leicester City really didn't have the ball. And when you don't have the ball, it's exhausting.
Yeah, eventually, they, as Danny says, wear you out. They draw you across the pitch so many times until they find the hole. I've got to say, Rebecca, they've been expertly managing what's been a difficult season. I know Kevin De Bruyne comes off and wants to play all games, but the manager's done a great job of keeping everything fresh. He's got a fit squad now, a full squad, to go into the next 2 weeks. And I was just looking at the next 2 weeks. You've got Dortmund in the Champions League, you've got Premier League against Leeds, Dortmund again, and then the FA Cup semi-final against Chelsea. It's a key moment of the season, and Manchester City in perfect place. Another clean sheet, that's 17 already this season.
They can win four trophies. For you, success would be how many of those four?
I think success would be two of them, and I think the Premier League and the Champions League. I think that's what it's all about. The Champions League is key to them. What I would say about Manchester City as well is that they've got a squad of intelligent players that can play numerous different positions. So that allows other players to have a rest. It allows a surprise effort when they're playing against the opposition as well. So they're in a really good place.
Pep, on the back of an international break against a really good side, how satisfied are you with what you saw from your team?
A lot. Since the first minute, and an incredible team. So difficult to attack them. We suffered at home, but we were more patient. We didn't make mistakes. And great victory. Incredible step forward to win the Premier League. We are closer. We need, I think, three more games and one draw, so 19 points. And now, like we have done this season, next one is Champions League, and one game at a time.
Let's take you back then to North London, to our commentary team, Graham Lassow and Arla White, with their post-match thoughts. Gentlemen?
And Rebecca, it could have been 8 points, that gap between Liverpool and Chelsea. So what a massive swing of 6 points with the West Brom victory early and then Liverpool's second half display here today. So they're in the hunt. Jurgen Klopp says it's a mini-season, it started very well. What were the keys to their improvement and getting the results in the second half?
I think initially the tempo, attitude and the desire that Liverpool had, in stark contrast to Arsenal, who never really got going. And you know, watching the first half, I thought, well, Arsenal are just inviting them on, counter-attack football, they'll get Odegaard in the game, never materialised. They got worse and worse, and obviously once they went goal behind, their heads went down, they lacked any real team spirit, individual mistakes, and utter collapse by the end of it.
Yeah, so an alarmingly bad Arsenal performance, but Liverpool impressive.
Yeah, absolutely.
What stood out for you?
I think that obviously Alexander-Arnold, as we said from the beginning of the match, had a point to prove. He showed quality. Fabinho showed a lot of quality, good movement. And I think that sort of buzz around the team again. Thiago playing a little bit further forward now that Fabinho's in that midfield holding role. He looked better, more influential with his passing. So all in all, it was a much better connected performance by Liverpool. Once they got the first goal, they really relaxed into it and then just opened up Arsenal at will.
And in the end, it could have been more, couldn't it?
Certainly could have.
Rebecca, we'll talk to you from Old Trafford tomorrow, but what a day for Liverpool today.
Indeed, closing in there on the top four are the champions. Our thanks to Graham and to Arlo. I said during the highlights, Robbie, that there wasn't much in the first half. And what I meant by that was there weren't too many chances for either team.
No.
But Arsenal, if you look down our highlights, really created nothing today. How alarming is this season for Arsenal?
We sat here, Rebecca, and we said there was a shot of Mikel Arteta looking disappointed, I think, at 2-0. And we said, the plan's not working. And I remember I said to you, what plan? At times, I'm not quite sure what it is. If they can't play out the back and they try that and often, you know, give up a goal, then it doesn't look like the fluency of playing through the team in other ways. They sat back in the first half and denied Liverpool. But when they sort of at least tried to play a little bit, they looked so open at the back. And from Liverpool's point of view, I've got to say, Diogo Jota, he wasn't really mentioned about when all the defenders were being injured and the midfield players were injured. He was a huge loss at the time for Liverpool when they needed that spark up front. You see what he's done today.
Yeah, it's a good point. What's your headline out of today?
The Arsenal players. I think the reason they're making so many individual errors is because they're being asked to do something that is not their strength. So the manager has to take responsibility. But then as players, senior players, whoever it may be, when you're on the pitch, if you're not comfortable doing something, you have to change that as an individual on the pitch. But there's been too many times now where Arsenal have given the ball away in their own half and conceded a number of times throughout the season. And that has to change.
The bottom line with Arsenal is some of these players aren't good enough. It's a rebuild at this football club that's needed.
Jürgen, congratulations. Probably the best I've seen you play, maybe since Palace. It was a really good performance.
Yes, as a package, probably. Yeah, because tonight we scored, then finally, from a specific moment, we finished our situations off. It was already good before that, obviously. We had clear-cut chances, played really good football. Arsenal was not really in the game for the whole 95 minutes. And so that was because of our performance. I think they were ready to hurt us, to punish us, but we didn't let it happen tonight. And that's great. What's very important for us, obviously, we had to keep going. We had to kind of keep the momentum. It's the first time pretty much that we have it, so we should be careful with it and keep it and treat it well. And that's what we did tonight, and was a really good game.
You'd have been quite frustrated, I guess, at halftime to be 0-0, because you had pretty much control of the game for the whole first half.
Not frustrated, because the result is a result of the performance, how we know, and the performance was good enough to win the game, and it has two halves. So we are obviously not in dreamland this year, so it's not that things just start clicking for us now. So I think in the moment when Millie missed the chance, which was brilliant football, Trent's pass, blah, 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 and then Millie is there and has an open goal in front of him and miss it. That was the moment when you really thought, okay, that's how it is this season. Eh? So we have just to work harder, we have to try it longer, more often, all these kind of things. And when you do that, then you have a good chance to win the game. And first and foremost, it was important tonight that we performed on that level, because the counter press tonight was absolutely exceptional. It was really tricky for Arsenal, I think, to deal with that. And when you play good football and you win, if you can then win the balls back high on the pitch, then you play a good game. In good games, you should win.
It would be nice to talk about lots of individual performances, because there were many of them. But perhaps the outstanding little tiny moment of the game was Trent's ball for the first goal, because it's such high quality.
Absolutely. Sensational cross. But he had the pass in the first half already. How the game he played tonight was just exceptional. Eh? So that's how it goes sometimes the criticism there or whatever, or people talk about you in the wrong way, then you want to show a reaction. But that's the way how he played since he came back from the injury. So because he had some problems, yes, in the start of the season, but he is one of our standout players in this season. And now tonight he could show that again, and it's really good.
Thank you, Jürgen.
You're
welcome. Appreciate it. Thank you, Matt.
You are welcome.
Mikael, just how disappointed are you with that result and that display?
Very much. Completely deserves to lose the game. They were better in every department. They deserve to win the game with the margin that they have or more. And unacceptable from our side the way we play today.
You're clear in your condemnation of it. What do you put it down to? What was missing? What was wrong tonight?
They were much better than us in every department. They win every duel, every second ball, every challenge. They were brave when they had the ball. They made the right decisions. We didn't. It's my fault.
Why do you say it's your fault?
Because I have to set the team to play in a different way and perform in a different way, and that's it.
Do the players not have to take some responsibility for not putting
in? I prefer to do that. And I take it. Congratulations to Liverpool, because I think they were exceptional today, and they were, and they can play at that level. And we saw the difference today between the two teams when we play at that level, that the margin is incredibly high.
That's honest of you to take the blame, but just how dispiriting is it?
I don't care. I don't have to use any excuses that we don't have five or six players. It's not about that. It's the standard has to be much higher for this football club, and my job is to get them to perform at that level.
It's the concern. It wasn't necessarily technical, but it was the effort.
It was technical as well, and the effort is because of the disappointment, but we gave every ball away. We could not put three passes together. They do that really well, they counter-press, but it's still like that. It was too many simple things not done right. The basics weren't there today, and when you do that against this level of opponent, you get punished like we have.
How big a setback does it feel, that type of display?
At the moment, I'm in shock because I didn't expect that. The way the team trained, the way the team tries, it happened today. That's the reality.
Robbie, they threw it away, didn't they, Spurs today?
Well, it's funny because you said at half-time like, that Spurs didn't look secure. I thought that Spurs, whatever happened, would find a way to win. I guess they only had 5 minutes at the end there. But it comes back to Jose Mourinho relying on his defence. Mm. And for how many times, Robbie, we said it this season, where the football is scrappy, it doesn't look great, they don't sustain attacks, they're happy to defend, but they don't defend well. Mm. You look at the lineup defensively, that's different players. Nearly all of them are different. He's changed and chopped and changed, thinking he got something better, and yet it wasn't just the two goals, Rob. Newcastle had, two or three other really great chances. Defensively, Spurs are not good enough.
They had 20 minutes in Newcastle where they had a go, and I think Robbie's saying that he felt Tottenham would find a way. He trusted Jose Mourinho in this group of team. What he can't trust is that back linebacker. The Willock goal, Tanganga, stop a cross coming in, you don't have a problem. You lose a header on the back post. Your two centre-backs have got to deal with one ball. They run into each other, and all of a sudden, from Newcastle's point of view, listen, you expect some bad things because they're a team 17th on the table. For Tottenham, the gift was there today. The gift was there to close the gap, to get themselves at the top four spot, and then look forward towards a League Cup. This is going to be a real tough end to the season. They've got Manchester United, Everton, and I think Southampton in the next three league games, and a League Cup against Manchester City.
We've got to make sure we give Steve Bruce and Newcastle United plenty of credit, because the ambition shown there surprised me a little bit. From the first whistle, I mean, they created more chances, I think, we've seen Newcastle United create for a long time. Mm. And the strikers, Gale and Jonathan, are not taking all of them, obviously. But they did get two goals, and they were constantly giving Spurs, not a great defensive Spurs, but still, Tottenham Hotspur, a real lot of trouble
defensively. He's had difficult times, hasn't he? He's been under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, he has.
Jose, to turn that game around in the first half, how do you reflect on just leaving here with a point today?
It's not a good point. We should, and we come, of course, with the objective to win it, so not happy with the point. And I don't want to go very deep on my analyse, because I feel that what I feel, what I think, what I want to say cannot be with you, can only be in the dressing room.
If we start looking defensively, not going too deep, but was it perhaps a little too open at times?
It's a bit of a contradiction, because normally you tell that we are not an open, expensive team, so it looks a little bit of a contradiction. I would say that too many individual mistakes, and then mistakes give instability, and maybe can give that perception that you have. But for example, in the second goal, we are balanced. We are not open. We have more numbers than them in the point where the cross is coming. We have positional control of the first man for the first ball. We have two against one for the second ball in the face of the goal. So we were not too open.
In terms of the other end, Harry Kane again showing how vital he is. He is a goal-scoring machine, but do you feel there are others who perhaps need to step up and take some of the load from him?
You know, he scored two goals. He had the one where he hit the post, so this is Harry. He did his job. We had other very positive performances. Just to give you an example, I think that Tanguy played a very good game in terms of the building up for this for these situations of goal and goal chances.
Aston Villa coming back to win that one. Fulham, we talked about Tottenham earlier throwing away a chance. Tottenham would have gone fourth if they'd won the game. Fulham would have been in a safe position had they won the game. Throw it away for you?
Well, throw it away, yes. It smacks of a team that realises what's in their grasp. 3 points, they know the importance of this match, they know what happened to Newcastle United, they know the gap, they know the amount of games left, they know the opportunity they've got to win games to stay in the division. You're 1-0 up with half an hour to go, and I just felt the fear took over a little bit. They didn't attack anymore. We talked about they weren't getting people forward anymore.
Yeah.
This is great. Let's hold on. Let's protect. People were nervous. A little bit more dwelled on the ball. And to be fair, Villa raised their game a bunch in the second half. Good substitutions. Trezeguet coming in, getting those couple of goals. It's, you looked at the body language, Rebecca, and I'm sure you looked as well. Yeah. The manager when the goals were going in, the players coming off. They could overread, was shaking his head. That's quite damaging, that, Rebecca, given the situation and the game's coming up. Wow, that's disappointing for Fulham.
How do you assess Fulham against Newcastle in this run-in?
Right now, the momentum is gone the other way. It's gone back to Newcastle, Rebecca. Robbie made a really important word there. Fear hit Fulham today. They're 1-0 up with an hour on the clock and weren't quite sure what to do for the next 30 minutes. They wanted the clock to go quickly. And when you're down there, Rebecca, and I've been in teams like this, there's two really important things. The first thing is to get the results. But very close behind that is the performance. How you play gives you hope. That's why we've been saying Fulham have got a chance because they're playing well. Today's a body blow. They got themselves ahead. All week the narrative would be, we win today, we go above Newcastle, and now we go on. He's going to have his work cut out now, Scotty Parker. This is a challenge for 7 games. He's got to lift this group again, and they've got to go again till the end of the season.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Scott, commiserations. Just how difficult is that one to take for you at the moment?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, to be honest with you. So, just a poor 15 minutes, to be honest with you, Greg. Get our nose in front. I thought the game ebbed and flowed a little bit at that point until our goal. And then, yeah, I mean, I'm disappointed with the way then it obviously it goes in that sense that they get themselves back in the game at 1-1 and they're just easy goals, really. Just easy goals, silly goals, and that's let us down today, to be quite honest with you. So that's disappointing.
How has it got away from you from that position, bearing in mind the importance of this game and the opportunity that was there for you at that point?
Well, yeah, I've got half an idea, but at certain moments in certain games, you need to understand where you are as a team and what your game needs at that certain moment. We didn't manage that situation very well. And sometimes in football matches, you need a grit, you need an understanding, you need to be horrible, you need to play the game territory. You need to understand that. Look, I think it's clear to see the way my team play and the way I want us to play. But certainly there's always two sides of a football match, and even more so now you get to 8 games like we've got to. And you get your nose in front here with 15 on the clock, really. You need to, of course, they can get back in the game, and they did. But at that point, there's 1 point. We're walking away here with 1 point, and we were sloppy in their moments.
In the end, is it game management and simply game management that's costed you, do you feel?
I think it's game. We manage the game at certain moments, but there needs to be something a little bit more at their moments, and we lack that today. It's a young team, and we understand that, but it was some naive, silly mistakes, really. And you know, at this moment where we are, where we are in the season and where we are as a team, you need to eradicate them, really. So overall disappointed with the loss. I always say you can lose football matches, of course you can, but sometimes there's a way to lose football matches, and I wasn't pleased the way we lost today.
Well, Jose, the Premier League is hard. Is there a feeling that your players are making it even harder than it needs to be at the moment?
Premier League is hard, and it's high-level football. And when in some actions you don't show that you belong to that high-level football, it's difficult.
And with those words, we welcome you to Premier League Live. Liam McHugh, Robbie Musto, Robbie Earle. So Tottenham now 15 drop points from winning position during this campaign. Jose Mourinho had many other comments. He was asked a question about his past, this idea that his teams were known for holding leads in games. But this year, obviously, that's not the case. So who is to blame for letting leads slip? His response, same coach, different players, which sounds a whole lot like the buck stops anywhere but right in this area. What do you make of this?
And we shouldn't be surprised. It's classic Jose Mourinho. Let me tell you where we are. shots have been fired. And shots have been fired, one, to the dressing room, to the group of players, to say, you're not really doing it my way. And a shot's been fired for me to the boardroom, to Daniel Levy and the higher-ups at Spurs, to say, I'm going to need some money to get this defence sorted if you want to bring the silverware that I want to bring. And it's interesting. So he's saying, same manager, different players. How about from Spurs' point of view, it's same players. How about different tactics? How about going about it different? Before we get to same Spurs players, different manager. Because I think that's the road we're going. And I talked in our podcast with Robbie yesterday and said, listen, this is the start of Josie. The League Cup's coming up at the end of the month. If they're not in the top four, we might start seeing more of these kind of comments, more of the toxic attitude around the football club. And that's when Jose Mourinho has to leave.
Does it feel like the early signs here of a pending divorce?
Well, what, second season, third season, it starts to go wrong historically for Jose Mourinho. But again, it's just another example of his out-of-control ego. And it's never been his fault. But if you actually analyse it a little bit more closely than that, well, actually, the data is starting to top up that it actually might be. He's brought in new defending players, Reguilon, Matt Doherty, Joe Roden. He brought in Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, a defensive-minded midfield player, to make his team stronger defensively. Yet, we're seeing the same issues that he's had all season long, where they're passive in games, they're not going to kill off teams and try and score more goals. They try and rely on a defence that in his... He thinks it's going to be good enough, but
he hasn't even got a set defence, Rob. He has more changes than you change your golf swing and still can't get the success. You know, is it Aurier? Is it Doherty? Is it Reguilon? Is it Davies? Is it Roden? Is it Tanganga? Is it, you know, Sanchez? I mean, who's his back for?
I'll tell you what it is, my friend. It's a smokescreen. They've conceded 32 goals, mm-hmm. fewer than Leicester City, fewer than Manchester United, who are sat in second and third place in this Premier League. It's not that. Those aren't bad numbers. It's philosophy. You talked about the points he's dropped from winning positions. That's game management. That's style. That's approach. That's when we're 2-1 up against Newcastle United or other teams, let's go and score more goals. They've got a ton of great attacking players. So it's his game management more than the numbers. The goals fought and the goals against, when you look at them independently, they're all right. It's just the way that he's managing the team in certain situations and they're dropping valuable points.
That said, Rob, and I hear you, Thomas Tuchel goes in at Chelsea Football Club and take the five goals that Sam Showcase put on at the weekend, goes into a team that are leaking goals, changes the system, goes to a back three, makes defenders better, coaches them, works them. Yeah. In a short space of time, we've seen Chelsea go from a team that don't look like they're going to concede goals. OK, at the other end of the pitch, it wasn't great. But you can work and coach and make players better.
But when has he ever done that? He's not an improver of players. Well, when has he ever trusted young players, Rob, and thrown them in and made them better? And like, wow, look, they've... But he's not that guy.
What you're saying is he needs to go to Daniel Levy and go, give me $250 million so I can find my John Terry, can find my Cavalier. Because in 2015, he had 2004-2005, he had a Chelsea team that conceded 15 goals all season.
This is always the question mark, Jose Mourinho. A coach that can make really great teams that little bit better with his tough winning mentality, and that's worked. This maybe is a little bit more work to be done, and he's struggling.
Well, you know, he was asked about work specifically, and was there more work to do? He said, I don't think so. We work well, we work hard, but there are mistakes which I probably shouldn't even call mistakes because they are related to qualities that players have, which basically tells you, don't ask me to fix this. Yeah. This is the player. It's on them.
And he's basically saying, these players are not up to what I want.
He's bought them, many of them.
But he's saying, and he doesn't fancy him, Rob, so he's now going, give me. I need to go again. Jose Mourinho isn't going to change. He's the only manager in the Premier League who wants to control a game without the ball. And it's the hardest, most dangerous thing that he does. And this team, with this group of players, are not good enough to do it.
And by the way, just final comment. He took over a team that were in the Champions League final the season before. And he was very happy with his squad. And he's added new players. So it's starting to mount up. Come on, Jose. It might be you.
Yeah, I mean, we see the two managers right there. Let's start with Everton. Carlo Ancelotti, right at this moment, his feelings have to be what?
Frustrated. That was a careless end to the game. As many chances as we've seen, Richarlison v Guaita was like a one-on-one all through the match. Chances for the likes of Calvert-Lewin to only be 1-0 up and then having to manage that situation. Careless at one end, not taking the chances. careless at the other to allow a team back in. And if you want to go for Europe, if Everton want to start to make that next step, you have to hang on to those 3 points to make sure you're closing the gap on those teams above you.
I mean, it seems like an obvious thing to stress at this point, but how do you change that if you're Everton?
Well, the manager's a vastly experienced manager. He will be drilling into these players now. He knows this league very well. He's had previous seasons in this Premier League. He knows that at 1-0, every team's got a chance. And we were just talking about it towards the end there, that in the Premier League, you've got good squads. You have Batshuayi coming on, Jeff Schlupp, not a big star player, but was involved in the game. You've got to get more than 1-0 up to try and secure a game. And the opportunities that his two strikers had, I mean, that's just a bad day for the strikers. Everton weren't super slick, but they created enough to win that game.
And that's where Palace is comfortable.
And right? And Palace, listen, if you leave that door open, they've got Zaha, they've got Benteke, they've got people who can come off the bench. They've got energy and they've got good athleticism.
That's some good football as well today.
Yeah, and they did.
Nice build-up play.
And the goal was actually where they did combine those passes. Batshuayi comes on and gets them a finish. They deserve their point.
Well done, Jesse. A terrific win that takes West Ham to fourth in the table. It doesn't really tell the whole story of the night, though, does it?
No, I mean, it was a tough game. Obviously, you know, we had to work hard for the 3 points and, you know, we kept at it. You know, I thought it was going to be another Arsenal situation conceding before half time, but, you know, the lads kept the focus and concentration throughout the 90 minutes.
Was that in your mind, the manager said at half time, we cannot let that happen again?
Yeah, it's just, you know, lack of concentration at the end. But like I say, we come out second half a little bit better. Like I say, they dominated, you know, most of the play, but it's about us, you know, managing the game.
You started things going, running from your own half. How much did Mikel Antonio's run help you as well?
Yeah, it was perfect. You know, of course, it was 2v2, and, you know, we work on stuff like that in training, and, you know, Mikel took the defender away, and, you know, I seen a clear gap to go through, and it was just me and the keeper left.
When we saw you go 3-0 up, did we see some of the best football we've seen so far from West Ham this season?
Yeah, but I mean, there's always, you know, room to improve. You know, like I say, it's a great victory, but, you know, there's things to take from this game, positive and negative, and, you know, we'll learn on that.
Once again, your own form, just absolutely outstanding since you've been to West Ham. What's behind it?
It's just consistency, I think. Like I say, it's you know, form is, you know, consistent for me. I've obviously not played, you know, the past 2 years, I think. So, you know, to be playing week in, week out and keeping her on a form is great. But obviously, like I said, the team have helped me tremendously.
Looked like an exchange of words at the end. What was the problem?
He said, why do I play like that? Well, obviously, I don't know what he meant by that. You know, of course, we won the game. I think he meant when we kept it in the corner. But, you know, it's game management and, you know, there's things like that we have to learn and keep picking up on.
You're in the top four now. Can you stay there?
Yeah, it's about, you know, maintaining and keeping the focus. And, you know, in each game we've got, you know, a tough run of fixtures. But, you know, the lads are ready and, you know, we'll prepare for next game.
Okay, the headline coming into this one was that Declan Rice could be out weeks. But the headline coming out, Jesse Lingard, they pick up the win. After this performance today, they move into the top four. Do you feel differently about their chances of finishing in the top four now that you know that Declan Rice is going to be out?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a problem. A little window into that. Mark Noble, towards the end of this game, looked a little tired. There was a giveaway where there's an opportunity for Wolves. I mean, he did had a great game, you know, but Declan Rice is so important in that situation. West Ham do that. David Moyes does that. He did it against Arsenal. Didn't work out. Arsenal were great. They conceded the 3 goals and they just got a 1 point instead of 3. Happened again today. As Lingard said, it was kind of like, oh, are they going to concede 3 again? They held on this time. But just in terms of that question about finishing the top four, again, after 30 games, they're in the top four now is remarkable. I guess maybe it's the big club thing. I just think it's going to be difficult. I mean, wow, to stay there, tough.
It was really interesting. There was a great shot at the end of the game of David Moyes and Jesse Lingard running out, and he was holding, they were talking, they were laughing. And you think about those two guys over the last 12 to 2 years, both have had difficult times. David Moyes was at Manchester United, failed, went to Sunderland, didn't work, Real Sociedad. Jesse Lingard has had a lot of time out of football where people were questioning. Both of these people were out of football at a time when people were saying, well, he's too old, David Moyes, now his wages are too old. Jesse Lingard's never going to be a top-class player. It's redemption for both of these people. And to be sitting fourth at the moment, and Rob's right that, you know, Chelsea, Spurs, Liverpool are all underneath them. But God, they have not done well, this West Ham team. They're a different West Ham than we've known. There's spirit about them. They can play with a bit of swagger. They defended when they needed it. Today, This is a different West Ham under David Moyes. And you know what? You never know. Leicester City won a title. West Ham United can make the Champions League.
That was a special moment after the game.
Mark, was your heart in your mouth at any point in that second half?
A little bit. It was... The goal just before half-time killed us. It was a little bit similar to last week against Arsenal. You know, we were 3-0 up and cruising and then conceded a goal before half-time. And it makes the game a different game in the second half. And the boy Fabio come on, he scored a great goal for them, to be honest. We was a little bit unlucky with Tommy's goal because that would have put the game to bed. But I thought the boys dug in. We had a big loss in the week with Deck coming back from England duty and being injured. And then Mikey coming off after 20 minutes. They're two massive players for us, but the boys dug in well and got a great win.
Crucially, 3 points takes you into the top four. You're now above Spurs, Liverpool and Chelsea. Is that sinking in? And game by game, are you starting to grow in belief that you can finish in that top four?
I think we said we said 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think, that... when we get to single figures in games left, we can go for it and have a right go because we've got nothing to lose. We're not expected to be there, but the boys have done fantastic. We've played as a team. We've had to at times because every game in this league is a tough game, and to go and get 3 points here, which hasn't been a nice place for us in the last few years, and it was a good win tonight.
You mentioned losing a player like Declan Rice before this match. Sometimes you can see teams galvanised to show that you can cope without key players. Do you think that was partly the case?
I don't know. I think the boys have come out in the first half, especially the first 40 minutes. We were fantastic. We blew Wolves away. And then, as I said, the goal was really disappointing. But look, you can't replace Deck. He's probably one of the best City midfielders, not only in the country at the minute, but probably world football. And he's showing that on an international stage. So players like myself and Jared, who's had to come in for Mikey after he went off, have had to come in and fill in. And we've had that all the season. We've needed to players to come in. We've only got probably one out-and-out fit striker in Mikey, and now we've lost him. So back to the drawing board on Tuesday, I think, and see where we go next week.
As we look ahead to next weekend, runaway leaders Manchester City take on Leeds. Saturday's a big day in the race for the top four. Both Liverpool and Chelsea are in action. Sunday sees Burnley host Newcastle, both looking to put some more breathing room between themselves and the bottom three. West Ham Leicester should be a good one. But right now, we are going to focus on Tottenham against Manchester United. And why not, considering what's going on with Jose Mourinho? Yesterday, his team draws 2-2 with Newcastle. They were winning that game. They've dropped 15 points from winning position this season. Mm. He was asked about it and the fact that in the past this was not a staple of his clubs. So he was asked, why is this team letting Leeds slip away? And he said, same coach, different players. Mm. And that tells you what?
It tells you that nothing's ever his fault. And the players that he's got right now are not good enough. I mean, it's cringeworthy when... that's a really bad quote. It's a stickable quote. So the players will hear that many, many times. Even other interviews, it's like, you know, I'm trying my best, but they're making mistakes at this level that you can't do. I just think after a while, Rob, it just gets... If you're a player, I mean, you're OK, and you can handle the criticism and stuff, but... You know, more and more and more. And there's starting to be build-up now of evidence from disappointments, the North London derby, the Dinamo Zagreb going out to them in the Europa League. You know, the way that the team's performing at the moment with so many great attacking players that aren't being utilised, they're being cautious. I wonder, Rob, in this game again, are we going to see Jose Mourinho in the big games? It's scared. It's fear. It's cautious. It's back on the back foot to trying to stop United instead of trusting some of the attacking guys he's got.
The only consistent thing, all that the United players will say, yeah, oh, we know what he says. he was doing that when he was here as well. It's a huge April for Tottenham Hotspur and Jose Mourinho. Manchester United, Everton, Southampton and Manchester City in the League Cup. By the time we get to there, Rob, if they're not top four and they've lost the League Cup, we've got some big decisions to make. Jose Mourinho, Gareth Bale, Harry Kane. This whole football club is going to be destined around the next few weeks of football. And Jose Mourinho needs to have his players on side.
And same coach, different players. Mm. That is a quote that is going to live for a while. That one, it is on Sunday. But first up, we're back on Friday. Time's run out for Fulham to save their Premier League status. Coverage ahead of their game against Wolves starts at 2:30 Eastern here on Peacock Premium. That's all for us today. We'll see you Friday.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.